All right, hello everybody. This is lesson eight of Lighting the Way. We're going to begin Proverbs. Next week we'll finish Proverbs. This week we'll look at our readings from the first half. And the theme is wisdom from Proverbs. So our first reading. Will be from chapter 3, 1 through 18. But just to talk a little bit about Proverbs before we jump in there, especially this chapter. What we're going to be reading is the teachings from a father to a son. It's teachings of how to live a good life, how to live a life that follows God's teachings. You know, it's important to picture who's talking to who in this book, I think. The father is teaching the son. Later on, we'll learn that the father is teaching what his father told him about life. And you know, what things are true. And what does a good life look like? And, you know, I think it's important just because it's not something you want to just read over, you know. Oh, the father's teaching the son. Well, the father is, you know, for a son, there's no one that really cares more for the son and how his life turns out than his parents. And of course, this is his father speaking to him, you know, which is significant because he's saying, look, you know, this is lessons that he's learned, lessons that he was taught, and lessons that he's learned through his life, and things that he's seen, he's passing down to his son. And he's saying, you know, son, these things are true. And these things are worth guiding your life by. So it's something that he's lived, and he's been taught when he was young, which we'll learn in one of the other readings. But I think that's kind of where I want you to kind of think about. That's the picture as we read, especially Proverbs 3 on the other readings. That's who's speaking to who. And you know, from the son's point of view, you know, there's no one that he knows is in his corner, you know, more than his parents. You know, a son will listen to a father's instruction if you know, he knows that he's actually in his best, he has his best interest in mind. Even when some of the things he says, it's not easy truths. So let's start reading Proverbs 3, 1 through 18, and we'll review some of those. All right, so Proverbs 3, 1 through 18. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord, or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father the son in whom he delights. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For its profit is better than the profit of silver, and its gain from fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand her riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. Okay. So question one, who is speaking to who? So the Father speaking to whom? To his Son. We talked a little bit about that, right? So who should trust be in? All right. So right off the bat, who should trust be in? What does it say in verse 5? So trust in the Lord with all your heart. And our next question is, who should trust not be in? Do not lean on your own understanding. So you have the Father speaking to the Son. So the Son, right, is he's young. He hasn't lived all the experiences the Father has. And it's interesting here, the Father says, trust in the Lord. You know, he doesn't say, trust in me. He says, trust in the Lord. But then he says, beware of trusting in yourself, which makes sense, right? Logically, the Son is young. He doesn't have the life experiences to know which way to go. And, you know, this is not a foreign concept. I think if we're honest with ourselves, a lot of the time, anytime we do lean on our own understanding, a lot of the time we find that we come up short. We come up that our understanding is not what we thought it was. It's not as broad as we thought it was. And if you remember last week's lesson, this sounds a little bit like Job, right? Job learned that his understanding of the world was not as accurate as he believed. And God taught him that. So that's kind of, you know, it's kind of a theme through the wisdom literature. Beware of trusting in yourself, especially if you're not trusting your opinion based on the Lord, right? So let's move to the next question. What does trust in the Lord lead to? Okay, so trust in the Lord, it leads to positive things, right? What does it say here? In verse 8, it will be healing to your body, refreshment to your bones. And then verse 10, so your barns will be filled with plenty, your vats will overflow with new wine. Verse 2, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. So these are all good things, right? They're all things of, it's a picture of a life that is not doing without. It's the picture of a life that's not full of struggle and, well, not full of strife. It's a picture of a life that has a lot to be thankful for, right? So it's basically, you know, a picture of a life that is desirable. And that's kind of what the picture is. You know, trust in the Lord. It will lead to good things. Question 5. How to handle discipline. Okay. This is easy to read. It's actually, I find incredibly hard to put into practice. I'm sure a lot of people do as well. You know, and basically, you know, what it's saying versus, where is it? Verses 11 and 12. He's basically saying it is a very profitable skill to be able to take discipline. You know, discipline is feedback from others, saying, look, you know, this is where you're going. Oh, well, this is where you're not right. This is something you're doing that's not helping. And of course, here he's saying discipline from the Lord. there's discipline from the Lord. Do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. I've known people that were incredibly bad at taking discipline. And nobody enjoys it, right? It's hard to read a verse that says that you're in the wrong. It's not a pleasant experience. But taking discipline is something that it leads to improvement, right? So discipline it's important to be able to take discipline, especially when it comes from the Lord. And that would be an example of how that discipline would happen, right? If you were to read something in the Bible, not just in Proverbs, there's wisdom throughout the Bible. These books are the wisdom literature, but you can find wisdom all throughout the Bible. And, anytime that you find that you're not aligned with God's word, that's an opportunity to not loathe reproof, but to change, to grow from it. So question six, how is wisdom personified? All right, so verse 15, the father begins speaking of wisdom as a woman. So he starts saying, she is more precious than jewels and nothing you desire compares with her. So, so this is throughout the book of Proverbs, right? So it's personifications. Wisdom is spoken of as a woman, and he's speaking to his son, right? So of course that's an important piece to a son as to someone who's looking to his future, right? What kind of woman are you gonna choose to be your spouse? Is it gonna be one that leads to good things, or someone that leads to bad? So it kind of fits, right? Especially when you, as you follow down, the personification is in sections. He will kind of step out of the personification and talk about other things. But that is throughout the book. So let's go to the next section and read our next reading. All right, so this is one that you're going to have to follow along with. It's fairly lengthy, but I will read it aloud. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father. Give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, and he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget, do not turn away. Do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. Hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in an upright path. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded, and if you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on, for they cannot sleep unless they do evil, and they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of righteousness is like the light of the dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness, and do not know over what they stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their whole body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious lips far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Okay, Proverbs 4:1-27. So where did the father find his wisdom? Yeah, we spoke about this earlier, right? He said that he was taught his wisdom by his father. Important lesson here. That it still goes on today, right? Parents teach their children how they think is the way to live their life, right? Hopefully that's grounded in God's word. But it's not a foreign concept. Parents want what's best for their children. And parents are the ones that are able to give sound wisdom, because they've lived what the children of are living through. This is part of the reason that we're called to respect the elders. Respect our elders because they've been down the path before, and they've seen where different paths lead. That is something that is very useful. That's why many people have people that they contact and ask for opinions on things, especially people that are older. That's a very important thing. So question two, what will wisdom enable the son to do? So I really like verse 12. So he's speaking about what will happen if he holds fast to wisdom. He says, verse 10, hear my son and accept my sayings. And then in 12, when you walk, your steps will not be impeded. And if you run, you will not stumble. So it shows a picture of someone who's really able to flourish, right? They're really able to become who they should be. They're really able to not have a lot of things weighing them down. It's kind of the idea of reaching their full potential. They're rising above all those that were unable to escape the snares, if you will, that may hold them back. So, that's what wisdom will do. So question three, what is the first do not command in the reading? So, 14, right? Verse 14, do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. So he's talking about, question four. How is the way of wicked and righteous contrasted? So in the verses preceding this, he's very positive. Hold fast to wisdom. It'll let you reach your full potential. And then he contrasts that with wickedness. And he says, do not enter the path of the wicked. So it's a complete contrast, right? Stay away from it. Pass by it. There's nothing but folly there. There's nothing but people that want you to stumble. And that's easy to see. That's easy to see around. Unfortunately, young people, and of course, the father's worried about this son. When you're inexperienced, you don't always see those. And you're not always keen to know who's there for you who has your best interest in mind and who does want to see you stumble. So, and, you know, and then he goes on, he speaks about righteousness as light of the dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. And then the darkness is, you know, the way of the wicked is like darkness. And they do not know over what they stumble. You know, they're in the dark. They're just stumbling. They don't have any wisdom. They don't have the light. It's not somewhere that he wants his son to go. So all right, next reading, Proverbs 6, 1 through 23. My son, if you have become surety for your neighbor, have given a pledge for a stranger, if you have been snared with the words of your mouth, have been caught with the words of your mouth, do this then, my son, and deliver yourself. Since you have come into the hand of your neighbor, go humble yourself and importune your neighbor. Do not give sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hunter's hand, and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. Go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and your poverty will come in like a vagabond, and your need like an armed man. A worthless person, a wicked man, is the one who walks with a false mouth, who winks with his eyes, who signals with his feet, who points with his fingers, who with perversity in his heart devises evil continually, who spreads strife, therefore his calamity will come suddenly. Instantly he will be broken, and there will be no healing. There are six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven which are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. My son, observe the commandment of your father. Do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life. So, question one, what does the father say about responsibilities? So I think that's really what the first section is about. It's saying, if you make a deal with someone, if you end up owing someone, if you make an agreement with someone, fulfill your agreements, fulfill your responsibilities. Don't try and get out of them. Don't look for a way to escape them. You know, it's really the picture of someone who is not looking for the easy way out. They're trying to be honest with their neighbor, and they don't avoid their responsibilities. And part of the end of that says, you know, deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hunter's hand. There's kind of a sense there that by doing that, you can avoid the folly or the troubles of not fulfilling your responsibilities, right? Not fulfilling your responsibilities leads to troubles. And that's kind of, I think that's really what that section is saying. So question two, what does the father say about poverty? The next section is really talking about, you know, working, not being, I don't know if we like to say lazy, but really it's talking about not work, not being someone who doesn't work, not being someone who doesn't try to provide. And it's really speaking, you know, of trying to keep up and take care of your own needs and not being somebody else's responsibility, trying to be responsible for your own. And it says down at the bottom, your poverty will come in like a vagabond, and your need like an armed man. And that's kind of, you know, it's kind of a lesson of how do people find themselves in desperate positions, right? It's not expected a lot of the time. It just happens, but something happens and it sneaks up on them. But, you know, somebody who's working hard and trying to prepare for those events, they're going to be in a lot better place than somebody who hasn't been working, has been not preparing. You know, there's a common picture of the ant and the grasshopper, right? And in verse 6, he actually says, go to the ant. Ants are constantly working. They prepare for the seasonal food. They store food. And, you know, the grasshopper supposedly, you know, does not. And that's always a common story. So question 3, what is the end of a wicked man? Well, I mean, really, it's down here and starting in verse 12 and going to 15. Therefore, his calamity will come suddenly. Instantly, he will be broken and there will be no healing. You know, contrast again, righteous versus wicked, living by wisdom, living in darkness. Wicked men will end up in calamity. And a lot of the time it'll come suddenly, instantly he will be broken, and there will be no healing. The idea here is because he's not living by wisdom, one of the things that wisdom would have helped him avoid, he's not going to be able to avoid, right? He's walking in darkness. He's stumbling over everything. That is the picture. That is the picture there. So question 4, what are the 6 things which the Lord hates? It's right there in verse 16 to 19. And, you know, this is something that I think it's good to read them and think about each one. We're not going to do that right now, but they're not things you don't see, right? They're things that we see all around us. But there are 6 things which the Lord hates. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, one who spreads strife among brothers. Like I said, you know, they're not things that we don't ever see around us and in the world. You know, they're things we see more frequently than we like. And these are things that the Lord hates. So they're things that the Father wants the Son to not be. He wants his Son not to be these things. So question 5, what does the Father tell the Son not to forsake? 20, do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. So it's the idea of, you know, take these teachings that are coming from me and your mother and hold on to them. Use them. Keep them with you. Use them as a ruler as you make decisions in your life. They're useful. They're guidance. They'll keep you from folly. You know, that's the reason. Bind them around your neck. You know, that's the idea, is, you know, so that you don't find yourself without them. All right. Proverbs 8, 1 through 21. Does not wisdom call and understanding lift up her voice? On top of the heights beside the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand beside the gate opening the city. At the entrance of the door, she cries out, to you, O men, I call my voice, is to the sons of men. O naive ones, discern prudence, and O fools, discern wisdom. Listen, for I shall speak noble things, and of opening my lips will produce right things. For my mouth will utter truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the utterances of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing crooked or perverted in them. They are all straightforward to him who understands, and right to who find knowledge. Take my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choicest gold, for wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with the prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance in the evil way. and the perverted mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Power is mine. By me, kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles all who judge rightly. I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even pure gold, and my yield than choicest silver. I walk in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, to endow those who love me with wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. The Lord possesses... Okay, 21. Sorry. All right. So where does wisdom call from? So wisdom in this is, right, we're back to the personification of wisdom. Wisdom's calling out everywhere. From the tops of the heights, beside the way. Wisdom's everywhere, right? So really, this is the idea of, you know, wisdom can be observed. It's true, so therefore it can be observed. It's calling out from everywhere, from experiences, from others' experiences. It's just a matter of opening your eyes and looking. You can find some of these wisdoms. What is wisdom better than? So throughout the book, wisdom is better than riches. That's kind of throughout the book here. Wisdom is better than riches. And that makes sense, right? The father wants the son to be wise. Riches come and go. But wisdom keeps him from folly. Wisdom keeps him from disaster. What good is riches if you don't have wisdom? And then chapter 3, what should the son hate? Let's see where that is. So verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So it goes back to like the first section where it says, stay away from the wicked. It's hate evil, right? Stay away from the evil. Don't liken the evil. Run away from it. Stay away from it. It's not in the path of a wise man. Sorry. Next reading, last reading, chapter 9, 1 through 11. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has prepared her food. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her maidens. She calls from the tops of the heights of the city. Whoever is naive, let them turn in here. To him who lacks understanding, she says, come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Forsake your folly and live, and proceed in the way of understanding. He who corrects a scoffer gets dishonor for himself. And he who reproves a wicked man gets insults for himself. Do not reprove a scoffer, lest he hate you. Reprove a wise man, he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, he will increase his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. So what has wisdom prepared? So the picture here is that wisdom has prepared a home, right? She's prepared a table with maidens, and she's inviting people in. So the idea here is, wisdom is not exclusive, for a select few. Wisdom is something that is prepared. It's ready for anyone who's ready to forsake their folly, as verse 6 says. But that's kind of a hard thing to do for a lot of people, right? Not to trust in yourself, but to trust in the Lord. So question 2, what does the section say about being open for reproof? So again, this shows, forsake your folly and live and proceed in the way of understanding. So this is the same idea that was in the first reading. Be open to reproof. accept it, especially when it comes from the Lord. Consider it always. It's feedback. It's something that helps you measure yourself as to whether you're in the right or whether you're not. So verse 3, wisdom will add what to your life? So verse 11, for your days will be multiplied and years of life will be added to you. So this is throughout the book. It's the idea of a long life, right? It's what everyone would like. Nobody would like the alternative. That is the idea, is, you know, wisdom will lead to a good and long life because it will help you avoid the pitfalls, right? Remember back as he talked about the lightness versus the dark. In the light, you can see the follies. But in the dark, you know, the wicked are constantly stumbling over those. And eventually, you know, that will be their end. All right. So Proverbs 9. Next week, we will continue with Proverbs. And we will read some readings from the second half. We'll see some of the same themes. And we'll see some new themes, hopefully. So please look out for the worksheet early next week. And I look forward to next week. All right. Thank you for your attention.